Thank you, Brian. Good morning. Good to be almost noon. Good to be here with you. We're going to wrap up the forenoon here with a session on healthy relationships in the workplace. Bruce, thank you so much. You made a comment beforehand. I wonder if we're going to overlap on anything. And there was a couple things that we might double up on here, but that's good. So good to be here with you again. And by the way, those of you who I mentioned something about a daughter and a son-in-law crossing the river into Burma last night, they did send message that they made it back safely and they're back in Thailand. So we're glad. Thank you for praying. Bruce, you mentioned twice about how sometimes we as leaders can get a little arrogant and think we're really something. And we ask the question, well, do you know who I am? And I always loved the story of the pastor who went to the nursing home to visit an elderly lady from his church, and he met her in the hallway on her wheelchair, and he bent over, and she had dementia, and he said, do you know who I am? Do you know my name? And she looked at him, and she said, no, but if you go up to the front desk, they can tell you who you are. So, good reminder for us. Another thing I heard the other day about, just heard it yesterday, when we as leaders or pastors think we really have got it together, the speaker said, when you die, the amount of people that come to your funeral is based more on the weather than anything else. And a half hour after you're buried, they're all asking, where's the potato salad? So, okay, let's... Just before I went out the door this morning, my wife and I were talking, and we were talking about healthy relationships in the workplace. And she said, you know, it starts at home. I was like, that is so true. If we want to have healthy relationships in the workplace, it starts at home. And it not only starts at home, but it starts with a vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's you and I. For me, anyway, it's every day being in God's Word. For me, getting into my office and reading the Bible and taking quiet time and meditating is like eating a steak. And I miss it if I don't do it. And Billy Graham said, if you want to work and keep improving and massaging and cultivating this relationship, read Psalms. If you want to cultivate and massage and exercise this relationship, read Proverbs. And so I'm just going to put a little advertisement in for Hers Chips. I don't know if some of you are shaking your head. Yes, this is the book of Proverbs paraphrased, and I just love this. I've been reading this for the last 10 years. Today I read chapter 17. And there's something about it happens in your heart and in your mind if you read Proverbs every day. So that's my encouragement to you. You can buy them 50 cents a piece. Call Hers Chips in Pennsylvania. Some of you might know them. I'll send you a box of 50 at a time, whatever you want. So healthy relationships is actually more about listening than it is about talking. How many of you would agree with that? It is more about listening than it is about talking. And it's more about listening to understand rather than respond. The normal thing to do, as Bruce said when he's talking to a friend who went to Yellowstone, rather than listening, we want to respond. But it's more about listening to understand. James 1:19, let everyone be swift to hear and slow to speak. And then he says, slow to wrath. And I love what David said in Psalm 116, and I'm going to read it off my phone because I didn't get it in my notes because I came across it this morning. But Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2, listen to what David says. I love you, Lord, because, it says, I love the Lord because you heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he ear to me, for I will call on him as long as I live. Doesn't that feel good when we know that our Father in heaven hears me, hears my pleas, and he inclines his ear to me? That's what we should strive to be as leaders. So, one thing that in relationships that is so important is that there are always two sides to the story. And some quick to answer, we only hear one side. Proverbs 18:13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And I remember my kids coming home from school sometimes, and the teacher this and teacher that. And I would tell them, I said, okay, I'll hear you. But just so you know, I'm going to call your teacher, and I'm going to hear the other side of the story. One of the most damaging things we can do as leaders is to listen to one side. Even though we would agree with them, and we say, you're right, and that's wrong what they did. It is never wise to ignore the other side of the story, because people view life through their lenses and how they grew up and how they experienced life. So, one thing in relation, do I have credibility? Your most effective message is the one that you live. And credibility is from the word credo, which is believing or believable and worthy of belief. Nothing is easier than saying words. Nothing is harder than living them day after day. Doing the little and the simple things well. Consistency. Are you a consistent leader? Can the people depend on you? And Bruce talked about it, about what's the weather like when he walks in? Do I have to duck today? One of the things at Berlin Gardens that I don't suggest it, I require it from our leaders, from our managers, and that is you have no right to be moody. If you're going to be a moody person, you're not going to be in leadership. Now, there are days, we all have bad days. We all have things we go through. I'm okay with that. But come in and meet with your closest friend and pray with them. Tell them what you're going through. Ask them to pray with you. And if you need to, come and tell me and take the day off. But I don't want you to walk out there in the shop or into the office and be a grouch and to be moody. Because people depend on your consistency, and there is nothing that feels safer that even though you're having a bad day, and you can share and tell them you're having a difficult day, but it doesn't give you the right to be happy one day and to be grouchy the next day, and to where your people have to try to figure out, well, what is he or she going to be like today? And okay, we just don't talk to her today. Don't talk to him today, or wait till after lunch. So let's be consistent, and it gives you a lot of credibility. Four things every employee needs from us as leaders to build healthy relationships is communication, clarity, accountability, and support. And we can never communicate enough, and we need to communicate in so many different ways. I'm going to touch on this just a little bit later. But clarity, number two, let me just say, clarity always precedes excellence. If you are clear with your people on expectations on how to do things and what to do, you will have excellence. But if they have the question, I'm not sure what he said, or I wonder, did you hear it right? You will not have excellence. Accountability. It's okay to hold people accountable. If we do it in a way that is constructive and upbuilding and loving. And support. Our people need support. So four things that all employees need is communication, clarity, accountability, and support. Communication. This is kind of a cheesy quote that I've used for years, but there is so much truth to it, that a lack of communication creates imagination, and imagination is the greatest nation in the world. Let me give you an example. If I tell my wife that tomorrow, Saturday, I'm going to Walmart, I'll be back in an hour. About an hour and a half later, I wonder where Sam is. 2 hours. Okay, so she takes her cell phone and she calls me. I don't answer the phone. In the meantime, I'm out in Millersburg. I meet a friend in Walmart I haven't seen for years, whatever. Hey, let's go over to Jitter's Coffee House and have coffee. And I know there's bad cell service in there, so we go in there. I don't think about it. I don't call her. When she calls, I don't answer my phone. What do you think is the first thing that comes to her mind? Accident. Why is that? The answer I usually give is that Satan will always try to get you to believe a lie when you don't know the answer. So a lack of communication with your family, or here it's the workplace, with your people, they will always answer that question in their mind some way or another. And almost always they will answer it with something that is not true. Because the imagination of your mind will answer that question one way or another. If you need to take a picture of that, take a picture of it and never forget it. That a lack of communication creates imagination, and it is the greatest nation in the world. Repeatedly communicate your expectations and do it in a lot of different ways. A lot of different ways. Recheck for understanding. Repeat back to people. Let me just tell you, I'm going to share a tool with you that my wife and I learned that we took in Core One counselor training at Life Ministries in Pennsylvania a number of years ago. And one of the things that tools that we learned that have been so helpful in our marriage, and I also use it at work, that when I'm dialoguing and I'm communicating with Brian and there's a little bit of a misunderstanding or conflict, instead of me just firing back, I will say to Brian, so Brian, if I heard you right, this is what I heard you say. And you repeat back to Brian what he said. If there's conflict, he will often say, oh, no, that's not what I said. That's not what, well, that's what I heard. Well, this is what I meant to say. Oh, okay, now it makes sense. That has saved a lot of problems, a lot of arguments at work and at home for my wife and I, and also for our managers. When you learn to listen, to repeat back to the person what you heard them say, and it also helps you focus and understand where they're coming from. So very important tool that you can use. Three C's: be clear, be concise, and again, be consistent. The next slide that I'm going to show you is not original with me. It comes from a great guy, by the name of Tim Kite from Focus 3 Leadership Training out of Columbus, Ohio. But it's just a very valuable thing for you as leaders in your business to remember that your people want to know five things. Where are we now? That's the current state. You know, as a company, and one of the things we always do every month at our staff meetings is we share the sales from last month and we share what's happening in the company. We compare it with the year before. Number two is, where are we going? That's your vision. People want to know. They don't just want a job. They want to know where you're going. Number three is, how are we going to get there? That's your strategy and plan. People want to know that. Number four, what do you want me to do? That's, Tim Kite calls that my 20 square feet. People want to know, what is my job? What are my responsibilities? And what am I accountable for in my area? My 20 square feet. And the last one is, how am I doing? People as a whole want feedback. Just this morning, before I came here, I went to work and we had a very uncomfortable meeting with one of our leaders. It was a good meeting. It was a hard meeting, but it was a meeting we had to have. Nobody got fired. But nobody got a raise either. But it was a good meeting, and we resolved it. We talked about the problem, and then we talked solution, and we have a good plan moving forward. The other thing that in healthy relationships, and this is everywhere but also at work, is that people need encouragement. People, as a whole, life is not easy. People are dealing with family issues, with maybe children, with personal things they're going through, with could be finances. It could be a whole gamut of things. You as a leader need to remember that people need encouragement. And the word encouragement is to give, if you study it in Latin, it means to give strength of heart, or to make somebody strong and to hearten someone. That's what encouragement does. And when you walk in as a leader of your organization and you speak life and you create the picture that Bruce had up here, and you come alongside and you just listen, and how was your weekend and what have you been going through? Take time to pray with people. That means so much. It might only be 3 or 4 minutes. Just take time to do that. It's so important. Encouragement. Isaiah 41:10. Just listen to the words of Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Doesn't that just bring peace to your heart if you're going through a difficult time? Don't be afraid. I'm with you. A man that I highly admire, former leader of Boeing, and then was hired to come and help out Ford during the crisis where all the other car manufacturers were being bailed out, was a guy by the name of Alan Mulally, and he has now left Ford. But he came when they were losing literally millions a month, and asked to pull them out of that. And he was a farm boy from Kansas. Anybody here from Kansas? Okay. Hey, there you go. Yes, of course, Jeremy. I know if you know where, I'm not sure what part of Kansas Alan is from, but he grew up on a farm out there, and obviously went to Boeing and ran that for many years, built the 747, then the Dream. And then one of the great grandsons called him up and asked him if he would come rescue Ford out of their financial debacle. And he did. And one of the shots at Ford confronted him and said, "What do you know about building cars?" And Alan humbly said, "Well, I guess if I can keep a 747 up in the air, I can also help build cars." I thought that's very true. But one of the things that Alan did is that his goal was to have people first. Always have people first. Remember that people are your greatest value and are the most important. I'm just going to quickly read off 10 things that were very important that he shared. People first, love them up. Everyone is included. Have a compelling vision, strategy, and relentless implementation. Number 4, clear performance goals. Number 5, one plan. Number 6, facts and dates. And this was companies from literally all over the world that he had to bring together. Number 7, everyone knows the plan, the status, the areas that need special attention. Propose a plan, positive plan, and find a way. Number 8, respect and listen, help and appreciate each other. Number 9, emotional resilience. Trust the science. Number 10, have fun, enjoy the journey and each other, and hold everyone accountable. And he tells a story of how they would have this meeting and they would have all these charts. And if the one organization in Toronto, they were building the Taurus, if they're doing good, then the chart was supposed to show green. And if they had problems and issues and a line was shut down, it was supposed to be red. And that the culture was so toxic in those leadership meetings that everybody was scared to bring a problem. And so the first couple of weeks, all the charts would be green. And nobody talked. And he's like, we're losing money. What's going on? And after about 3 or 4 weeks, finally, the leader in Toronto showed his chart red. And then he started sharing. And he literally thought he was going to lose his job that morning. And as soon as he shared the problem, Alan started clapping. And he said, thank you. Okay, let's solve the problem. And all the different organizations, their machine shops, everybody worked together that week. They solved the problem and they started building cars again. He said the next week, half the charts were either yellow or red. He brought safety, a safe place to share a problem. And you as a leader, one of the most important things to do is to have a safe environment for your people. That's if you're here as a church leader or a business leader. Create a safe place for people. Another thing that is just so important, if you have the time to do it, maybe it's one day a week. For me, it's a goal of one day a week, but is to walk slowly through the crowd. Or it's the shop, or the office, or whatever organization. Get out of the office and love and serve people. Just very seldom when I walk through our plant do I ask John or Levi or Susie, hey, how many chairs did you build this week? Did you get all of them done? Are we behind? No. If I know Susie played a volleyball tournament last week, and I'll ask her, hey, how'd you guys do? Did you win? Well, I remember one Friday, a guy go take his homing pigeon to a competition. And so Monday morning I walked out and said, hey, where'd you come out with your homing pigeon? And he just came alive. So care for your people. Don't do it because you truly love your people. And improve the welfare of others. One of the things that we work hard at, we try and we want to create a safe working environment. We have manufacturing, and so we have a lot of machines. Occasionally something happens. The first thing we do is, if there is an accident, is of course take care of the individual, but then we look at that machine and we try to make it safer. We try to make it hard for someone to get injured, because we want every parent wants their child to come home with all their fingers intact. All the wives want their husbands to come home, not get a call that they're in the ER. So create that and be accountable for it. If you aren't, then OSHA will make you accountable. They will hold you accountable. The last one is, how can I help? This comes from Andy Stanley. You might have heard him say this. He would walk through his office and he would just ask, how can I help? And he tells a story of how he walked through one day and he asked that question, and this one gal said, oh, I just would love to have a paper cutter like they have over in that other office. That thing works so well. You know what he did? He jumped in his car, went to Walmart, bought the paper cutter, brought it back, put it on her desk. $25. She was like as if there was Christmas in the house. She was so happy. Sometimes it's not reasonable. Sometimes, you know, you go back and say, hey, we looked at this, and it just doesn't make sense. And most, if not all, people are understanding. Another thing is that we have, and this comes from a book that I'd like to show you then, but our most abundant resource that we have is recognition and celebration. It's two of the most powerful tools that a leader can have, and it doesn't cost anything. Well, you can make it cost something if you want to have monetary gifts to go along when you recognize people. One of the things that we do at work at Berlin Gardens is every month, next week we have staff meeting, and we give opportunity all year, and we encourage employees to recognize each other. So we print out this fake on the backside. There's a line to put your name, and then the individual's name, and we ask him to recognize a fellow worker, employee, for something that they noticed that they did well. And at staff meeting next week, we will read those off. And then that individual comes up, and then the company gives that individual a $50 bill. Just to show that, hey, we also care. It's not just something we read off. And I've shared this a couple times. I remind them that, you know what? What we heard today, there was five of you. You know, I recognize for his good attitude or for his creativity or for his flexibility. I have never heard of anybody being recognized. Oh, I want to recognize John for the fashion shirts he wears to come to work or for the way he combs his hair or the way he trims his beard or Susie for whatever. We never hear that. It's about character. It's about going the second mile. So I encourage you as leaders especially to recognize your people and to then not just recognize, but to celebrate it. Why do you recognize and celebrate? Because it engages people's hearts and people's minds. And when you engage people's hearts and people's minds, this may be a little strong, but they will almost do anything for you. They are willing to because they know you care and they know that you love them and they know that you're appreciative of it. Do the people have the freedom to recognize and celebrate others? Do you give them as a leader? Do you give them the time? Do you give them the resources to do that? Our managers have the freedom to $25 gift cards to anyone. Is it once a month, Marcus? They see something somebody did. They have the freedom to give it for birthdays, for anniversaries, just for recognition. And also the ones that are most impactful are the things that you do, the small tokens, the gifts or recognition, especially a gift when it's not expected. I have one of our VPs of our operations used to work for a roofing company, and he said, every time I wanted to ask to take off, I would just cringe because I know the boss, he would let me go, but he would kind of complain and whine and say, oh, well, we're not going to get our work done. And he said, he's been with us for almost 10 years, and he said, Sam, tell you that I want to take off for a week, I still kind of cringe because of the toxic environment I was in. The first time that he took his family to Florida, I wrote a thank you note, put a $100 gift card in it and said, thank you for what you do here. Take your use this to pay a meal. And he was like, I can't believe it. I've never experienced this before. But look for those opportunities, especially your like the people we often miss is like our supervisors. They're not managers. They're not just out in the plant, but they have leadership responsibilities. How and what we recognize and celebrate, and then also make it safe. So the next thing I like to just talk about is in having healthy relationships in the workplace, and Bruce touched on this too, is where do we solve problems? We can bring humanity and dignity back to the workplace by inviting people to own the problem. And I realize that in the world today, at least what I've experienced, that we can typically, we have 10 problem spotters for every problem solver. And people at Berlin Gardens know that if you come to me with a problem, I expect you to bring two solutions. You'd be amazed. How less, when people start embracing that, how less people come to me because they start thinking. And if they come with two solutions and we throw it together, and the one of the terms we say is that nobody is as smart as all of us. We come together, we have a big problem. We throw everything in, everybody's idea. There are no stupid ideas. But then be okay with using, we come up with the best solution. But we look at everybody's idea, even the new people. Machines, systems, and procedures exist to serve the people, and not the other way around. That is irritating when you hear that, well, the system just won't let us do it. Then either get rid of the system or change it. Listen to the people who know how to do it better. I just read recently in a book of how a machinist who had been there for 2 years, and they were having a problem with something on this machine, and one of the managers came out and they were talking, and the machinist gave an idea, and the manager said, "Who do you think you are? You're just a machinist." And it shut him down for the next 28 years that he would come do his job, and he was just silent until leadership changed. And then he started speaking, and he had good ideas. Recognize and reward the people who solve the problems. I'm just going to share a story. What do we got here till 12? Recognize and reward the people who solve the problem. We buy a lot of material. We call it poly. It's plastic where we manufacture our furniture out of. And we had these seat slats, about an inch wide, half inch thick, and they were 12 feet long. And the length we would cut a lot of them, we would throw about 6 inches away. And one of our guys came in one day, and since it's an extrusion line, and the extruder will never stop, so a saw cuts it off, and we were getting 12-foot length. And Joe started thinking, and he said, you know, started calculating how many 6-inch pieces we throw away in a year, and he said, do you think we could get the manufacturer to start cutting pallets of this stuff at 11 foot 5 inches? I said, sure, let's try it. We called them, and we said, well, you use enough of them, we'll do that for you. This was like 8 years ago. In 1 year's time, that saved us $85,000. We were doing it for years that way. We were like, way to go, Joe! We gave him a gift card. I don't know how much money we gave him, but we gave him a bonus for it. Why not? And when you start that culture and you recognize people, it doesn't matter if it's the newest person on the block or the oldest person. If they have the freedom to give suggestions, you start building a healthy culture. Now, for new people, I will say, the first thing they need to do is to learn how we do it and why we do it this way. And then we say, once you have that, then start bringing new ideas. Nobody can bring a dumb idea to our table. Listen to your people and solve the problem as close to the source as you can. Don't solve your problems in the conference room with managers sitting around the table. Go out to the plant, right at the machine or wherever, and you involve the people that are doing it and you solve the problem right there. Believe me, it will get solved faster and quicker and better. That way, when you get buy-in from the people instead of the managers telling the machinist or whoever how to solve it, get them involved. So solve your problems, and then also keep things simple. Good communicators take something complicated and make it simple. And I'm just going to quickly read this. I just couldn't believe when I read this morning in a book. It talks about how not to do it. Earl Kelly, professor at Wayne University, wrote an introduction that has become famous for its lack of clarity in a book for teachers summing up the work he and other educators have done over a number of years. This is what he wrote. We have not succeeded in answering all our problems. Indeed, we sometimes feel we have not completely answered any of them. It's worse. The answers we have found have served to raise a whole set of new questions. In some ways, we feel that we are as confused as ever, but we think we are confused on a higher level and about important things. That's just classic. One more that I just love is about keeping it simple. Is the guy that was catching fish by the water and had this little shack that he was selling fish. And he had a sign that said, "Fresh fish sold here." And he was like, how can I simplify that? So he said, well, I'm on the waterfront and they're sold here. They're not given for free. And they're here. They're not anywhere else. So he changed his sign, just said fish, because it was on the waterfront. He's not going to give them away. And he simplified. I share that to say it's often so important to just allow someone else to reevaluate your work, if you're writing or if you're doing something, and just, how can I simplify this? Simple is better. The British eight-man rowing team in the 2000 Olympic gold medal had one question. Will it make the boat go faster? That is the only question they could answer. Will it make the boat go faster? If I go out to eat tonight and I eat a whole bunch of ice cream and I'm on the rowing team, will it make the boat go faster? If I decide to drink two beers, will it make the boat go faster? You get the point? That if I'm on the team, on the rowing team, they answer that question and they won the gold medal. Everything in life that they did, will it make the boat go faster? Simplify it, and simplify it down to where everybody understands. So the greatest success in communication is action. I'll leave you with this. You can teach anything you know, but you reproduce only who you are. We can say as much as we want to, as often as we want to, but believe me, our actions will always speak louder than our words. If no action comes as a result of communication, then the message never really leaves the stage. And so, if you want to have any successful organization, whether it's a nonprofit or a for-profit organization, one of the most important things, if not the most important things, of course, is your relationships with your people. And in that relationships, it's communication. And more than talking is listening. And then also living out what you say. Do you do what you say? And are you a person that is safe, that when you're consistent, when you walk into whatever organization you're involved in? So God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to be here and to share. And I'll turn it over to Brian.